Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when asked about Stephon Diggs and his impact on the team.
For Steph, the thing that I like about what he's brought to our team, he just brings that relentless energy, passion for the game. He loves football, and I've said that multiple times. Like, you see it, the way he practices, the way he plays in the game. Like, he loves ball. He plays with effort. Like, that's all you want. Guys are going to play the game the right way and encourage your teammates and be a great teammate yourself, and that's what Steph does.
All right, so that was D'Amico Ryans on Stephon Diggs. We know throughout training camp, Diggs' leadership was quite evident out there every day. Has not had, like, the killer, explosive Stephon Diggs A-list receiver game yet. I don't count that the Minnesota game. I know he had 94 yards, but it was on 10 catches. And a lot of the numbers that the Texans put up in that game were in the second half of that game when the game was kind of out of reach. So suffice it to say, Stephon Diggs has had some moments so far. I mean, he had two touchdowns in the opener. He made a great play to score a touchdown in this game this past Sunday. You posed the question, so I'm going to let you answer the question. Was the Diggs trade worth it at this point?
Do I feel at this point that it was worth it? I still do. I still do. He's on pace for 1,000 yards right now. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably going to have a game or two here along the way where he just, it's his day to have the big game.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was where you saw evidence for it in the game, especially on that final drive, is he still has a gravitational pull. And that's why Dalton Schultz, Ogumba Wale, various other times this season, that when teams are playing zone especially, the cornerback's cheating towards Stephon. Mm-hmm. And it opens up. And I think that's where Stroud is going to get better and better at figuring those little things. The zones that they're seeing right now, it's always going to be different versus every defense. It's not just like, hey, this is how you play cover two. This is how you play quarters. This is how you play all these things. It's, all right, what are the little nuances of it? And, yeah, teams are still adjusting the way they play defensively to Stephon Diggs. So I'm cool with it for right now. I think so many of the issues on the offense not looking like a menacing offense boil back to offensive line stuff that I don't look at Stephon Diggs nearly like, oh yeah, he's one of the reasons they're not reaching their potential.
Right.
It's that the problem with the offensive line is keeping them from really taking advantage of all the opportunities that the presence of Stephon Diggs provides.
As far as the Diggs trade being worth it from another perspective, I agree with everything you just said. When Tank Dell went out with an injury this week, my feeling was like, okay, this is another one of the reasons. You went out and got Stephon Diggs for a couple of reasons. The main one was with the hope that everybody remains healthy, or at least by the end of the year is healthy, and you've got this Nico, Tank, Diggs thing that is just going to be a monster for teams to deal with. The second one, though, is that Nico has dealt with injuries and Tank has dealt with injuries. And Diggs is a rock.
Yeah, if they right now are rolling out there with Nico Collins and just Robert Woods or Xavier Hutchinson or whomever else, you're not going to feel as good about it. Yeah, as far as the trade, which ultimately really becomes more about how much did you get in terms of years and everything, I still I look at it kind of like I would a trade at the trade deadline. Yeah, second round pick for a really viable veteran receiver.
It's a good way to look at it.
That's always a fair price in my mind, even if he's on an expiring contract. So it in that regard, I think they're looking at it like, you know, we can't rely on both these guys staying out. Historically, as good as you feel about Nico, historically, in his first couple of years, he had a lot of injury issues, and he did have injury issues last year. And then with Tank, we just don't know what to expect.
I can't wait to see. I mean, I can't wait because I want the season to play out and really enjoy the season. But once the season is over, do you feel like Diggs is coming back here?
I think let's say he gets 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Just like right on the nose.
Yeah.
Not anything super impressive, but something still respectable.
He's like a 60-yard-a-game guy.
Do you think he comes back? I don't know, because the Texans aren't going to be in a position really to... I don't think they'll spend as aggressively on short-term contracts next year as they did this year.
Well, I guess the question, though, becomes what do you think his market is out there,
right,
you know, out with the other 31 teams?
Yeah, I could see the Texans wanting to give him a really nice one-year contract, but I think there'd be another team out there that would be willing to go stretch a little further.
There's always a team out there that's willing to spend.
Yeah, you're
right about that. I wonder, I think some of it will have to do with how this team looks throughout the rest of the year. Like, are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Yeah.
You know, and how badly does Diggs want to be on a legitimate Super Bowl contender? I think this too. They'll have, at that point, the Texans will have a year's worth of intel as to exactly what Stephon Diggs is all about. They've never been unwilling to pay their own guys at or above, you know, they don't underpay their own guys. No. You know, Titus got $18 million a year.
They'll give him it's a little bit of shorter of an extension, but it's a very lucrative extension.
It's a very lucrative. Yeah. I mean, Dalton Schultz got $12 million a year. Yeah. Like, if they I think more than anything else, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans value the intel and the knowledge they have of what a guy is behind the scenes and obviously how he is as a player. That's a given. He's got to be a good player. But in terms of choosing who to pay, Diggs feels like a guy so far they would want to keep around.
This was okay, so who says no then? Just given all things equal, let's say it's a fair offer and both sides agree to it. Who's more eager for Diggs to be on the Texans at the end of the year? Stephon Diggs himself, because of the trajectory of the team. If he's like a 1,000-yard receiver, if he doesn't have a breakout year, is he going to be a guy that's like, okay, yep, this is what aging receivers do. I'm on a good team. I appreciate it. Or does he feel like there's just still that all-pro season left in?
Yeah, I would say if I had to pick who says no, I would pick Diggs just based on the fact that he's hopped teams a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not to say like I feel strongly about it that way.
No, I think he's wired like a wide receiver should be, that he wants to be the guy.
That's a good way
I think he's going to – I don't think there's going to be any drama. If it were to go like that, and man, like this is just what it looks like, I think he knows and understands, like first and foremost, his number one goal this year needs to be a team leader who says the right things and all that stuff, and he's not going to be a headache, all of that.
Yep. Let's see. Someone says, no, 10,000 times no, not worth it. Okay, I need reasons, texter. Another texter, Diggs trade unequivocally worth it. Think of what happens if we don't make that trade, no Tank and no Mixon against the Jags.
Yeah, and no, and like, no that version of Nico Collins. It just, I'm not saying, he would still be producing well. I'm not sitting here saying that, like, he's being propped up by Stephon Diggs or something. But it would have been a lot more difficult.
Yep.
A lot more difficult.
Yep. Absolutely worth it. He's been dependable, makes great catches when needed. Tank hasn't been the powerhouse we thought of as of right now.
I think, by the way, to credit, I think it was John Crumpler who tweeted this question out yesterday.
Okay.
I can't remember. Or maybe it was Branham. Whatever.
It might have been Crumpler that I saw this with, which is someone saying, okay, do we need to have the hard conversation about Stephon Diggs yet?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had that breakout type of game. But I think the point you bring up is super valid, which is his presence out there. Like, you, if there were a way we could assign credit to some of the other guys getting catches, I think Diggs gets a portion of that credit.
Yeah, and I think also, too, part of it, without Mixon on the field, is that they don't have a back right now that's as good at just taking those extra opportunities in the passing game and in the receiving game. They have a hard time catching the actual football. So, Mixon's going to clear a lot of this up, I think, if he can stay healthy. I mean, this situation with Joe Mixon and the Texans is the exact reason that running backs don't get paid like it feels they should. It's not that there isn't value to them. It's that they just get injured so much.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't know, like, okay, how much are we going to commit to a guy that I can only expect to be around for half the game?
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing with Mixon is that it's not one of these things where, well, it's not like the injury that knocked him out in training camp, which is like a quad injury, which feels like one of those soft tissue, he's getting older kind of things. He got hip drop tackled by a guy who rolled his ankle.
I liked Sean Payton, what he would do forever, which is he'd have, at times he'd have four starting caliber running backs on the roster. Yeah. None of them making a ridiculous amount of money, but adjusting for and understanding, okay, the position does matter. We can't give you guys top of the market money and everything, but it does make a big difference having an actual starting caliber running back in there, no matter what era of football you're in. So to have a 1-2 piggyback potential for injury, it's nice.
Yeah, makes sense.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Text message, why did you leave your underwear in the studio yesterday?
Oh, okay. And it was clean underwear. I thought those guys were being a little too dainty about seeing a pair of man's underwear on the counter.
Right.
I guess it was I had folded them so well that I could see they might have thought it was wadded up or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was right on the counter there. Because I was going to work out in the building gym here afterwards, and I was getting so my underwear in my bag, but I had to grab some stuff out of my bag, so I had set the underwear down.
Forgot about
it. And then I went down to the gym, realized I didn't have my underwear to change into, so I came back up. Looked around the spare studio for my underwear, couldn't find it.
Is that why you came back up here half naked?
Walked
back,
yeah.
I guess I can't find my underwear
naked
anywhere.
Naked from the waist down. polo shirt, no underwear, no pants. Worst look on earth for a man.
Lopez made it sound like you left like a nuclear bomb in the
middle
like of
the
table.
Had pooped my pants and taken them off and left them there or something. Yeah. Well, these are no good to me right now. Let me leave them.
Right,
the
right. Lopez is like, I need tongs.
This is where Lopez, who probably has the worst hygiene of any of the hosts. Is that when it comes to studio hygiene?
Well,
he puts his feet up on the counter.
There are coffee rings that get left on the table sometimes.
Yeah. This is where Lopez.
I don't know if they're his, but they're near where he
this
sits.
This is where I am the victim of this, and I'm going to talk to Lopez about it during the toss. There's two things. Lopez will say that I'm the worst at responding to people on the text line, like letting it agitate me or let it get me distracted.
Yeah.
Whereas Lopez himself, if I'm not the worst, Lopez is right up there in the power
way
rankings.
Better.
It's been a while since I've been distracted too much by the text line. And criticizing me in this. I don't want to hear from Lopez.
Okay,
I don't want to hear from Lopez.
It's going to be a fun toss.
We also have to ask him about my feeling of that when I was at Chipotle with my face was all bloody.
The
fact that the young cashier who was very nurturing towards
the
me.
Hispanic,
she was very
Florence Nightingale.
It made me feel even better that she had an Hispanic accent.
Yes,
and I don't know if I'm being racist in that, but there was something about it like that that man, I wanted to call her my abuela. It felt right. It felt good.
For those who don't know, Seth went to the Chipotle right near the station here with a bloody face.
Yes.
Because the parking garage arm, the gateway, what's it called?
It's a barrier arm. The barrier arm. Sean. Everybody knows
the
that.
The barrier arm hit Seth in the head and busted him open.
Yeah.
So, of course, the first stop from there is not urgent care. It's not to go back to the studio or anything like that and get bandages.
It's to get me a burrito bowl.
Get you a burrito bowl.
Yeah.
Blood dripping down your face.
And then I asked the girl, I was like, could you just keep an eye on me? If I slump over or something, just
she
let
was all
me know.
About it,
oh, yeah. And yeah. She came over and checked on me.
That's great.
Yeah.
Man. That's great. All right, we'll ask Lopez.
It's one of the role-playing things Brandy and I do. I ask her to speak with a Spanish accent. And she's
wear a
like,
Chipotle polo shirt.
Yeah. And I don't want it. It's nothing sexual at all. I just want her to nurture me.
Nurture
yes,
you.
Yes, please. Yeah. Just yes.
And bring you a burrito bowl.
Make me feel like a man. Like right. Not sexually, just like, yeah.
Right. All right, let's get to the Astros. We're awaiting the playoff roster coming out. What do we think this thing looks like? Yordan, Verlander, those are the two big ones. We'll talk about that coming up.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.